Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope your day and your week have been going great so far. Well, my good buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley, joins me a couple times a month, sometimes with his dear wife, Erin. Today, I've got Greg on to talk about how you know it's time to propose. Are you ready to propose? And if you're already married, it would be kind of sweet if you've got an interesting proposal story. We'd love to hear that. I've got three copies of Greg. And Greg, did you write this with Erin, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. Now you're not allowed to say another word till I introduce you properly. But yes, okay, so the title of his book is Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You Love. I was just kidding, but did you notice how he obeyed me just like that? I love it. Anyway, so Greg, let me give you a proper introduction. We'll get this conversation started. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage for Focus on the Family. His 18 books include The DNA of Relationships and The Wholehearted Marriage. He and his wife, Erin, have three daughters and a son and a soon-to-be son-in-law. He's got an influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Looking
it's a miracle.
It is.
Why is it
a miracle?
Well, because, you know, I have to beg.
Oh,
plead,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, and promise. You
we
know,
changed the locks
cash.
And our numbers, and you still got through.
Exactly.
How
it's
does that
amazing.
Happen?
When you call in, you'll put
yes.
anybody on.
Well, this sounds like Smalley. Hang up. Anyway, it's been so good to have you. I know you're a busy guy. Appreciate the time. And
yeah.
Let's talk about this, how you know you're ready to propose. I mean, I want to jump right in. What's one of the first points that you ask a young couple if they're asking you, are we ready?
You know, I think is to honestly look at a dating history, and literally the research shows that the ideal amount of time is about 25 months of
Whoa,
dating.
That's a long time.
And so I know there's some out there like, what? We've been, you know, dating 6 months. I would say at least you've been dating 6 consecutive months.
Hmm.
So it couldn't have been, hey, we dated for 3, broke up for 2, dated for another 3. Hey, we're there.
Hmm. Because
obviously you need that time. You need that time to see this other person in a variety of circumstances. So doing normal life together, going through, you know, crises, facing conflict, fun times, you know, challenges, just the mundane parts of life that that takes time. And if you don't have that time, then, you know, I mean, there's some things that you might not have noticed.
You know, 6 months seems not very well, although I've just got to be honest and full disclosure. We were dating 4 months and then we were engaged. 8 months after that, we got married. 9 months after that, had a baby. Just saying that. But I will say.
Well, that's
say.
Why I changed it to 6 months so you didn't feel bad.
Hey, just a side note. When Greg and I were co-hosting a Focus on the Family show and we were out at NRB and we're introduced to a station manager, and Greg says, I've been married 21 years, and I said something like 28 because I upped him. He said, well, only 20 of those were happy. He says that about me. Do you remember that, Greg?
I don't have
oh,
any recollection of that.
Only...
I think you make these things up because
no.
You know I can't remember things.
I was wishing I would have thought of it, but okay.
That's a good one.
Really, I know.
I won that round.
You totally won that round. But okay, so 25 months seems kind of long. Would you say that's a different, this rule would apply differently to young 20s versus somebody who's maybe been around the block, a little bit older, different stage of life, or is it a kind of a one size fits all?
You know, again, it's just saying that you need the time to really see this person, understand this person within a variety of different moments in activities in seasons. And so that's why, you know, 25 months, I mean, honestly, that's what the research said. When I saw it, I went, ooh, that feels really, really long. I would say, though, that the minimum ideally would be six months. I mean, it would be hard to imagine you can really get to know someone and be able to have seen them in all those different circumstances outside of that time. And again, I mean, like you guys, I mean, there's plenty of people who, you know, hey, we met and we got married the next week and we've been married for 30 years. So, I mean, you know.
It's the exception, right, to the rule?
Yeah. But ideally, I think that's what your goal is. That's if you're thinking, am I ready to propose this person? Have we been together with enough time? See, Erin and I were, I knew her in college, friends with her as she dated my roommate, which is kind of awkward now.
Yeah, didn't know that.
Yeah, that was fun to watch my roommate and her make out. And anyway, I'm over that. And so, but so we were friends, and yet when we started, I think we started dating in like January, and then I asked her to marry me, I think in August, because we had she was a great friend of our families. I'd known her, but then we were separated during our whole engagement time,
which you would never do again. Right.
Never.
Okay, so you were dating shorter time too, and let's just make something clear too. When you look at the 25 months, I would imagine, you know, when you think about getting engaged, let's say you've only been dating a few months and you get engaged, and it takes a year to plan the wedding. The dynamic totally changes if you're engaged and planning a wedding versus just doing the everyday things of life. So, would you say that maybe the 25 months possibly includes a year of engagement, you're planning to get married? Do you know what I'm saying? Because that is a different picture for me, because it changes the pressure, I would imagine. You're committing to forever and you're planning this big event. You're not really going to be digging in deep and wrestling through some issues.
Now that whole paradigm shifts. Now this is who I'm choosing to spend the rest of my life with. And so how are we then preparing for a lifetime together? So definitely differences. Let's go with what you say. Let's say that 25 months includes a year of engagement.
Did I just make up that rule? But it seems smart.
If it makes you feel better,
it sure does.
I'm willing. If you'll have me on the show one more time, I will agree to the 15 months.
Okay.
With the,
you know, yeah. Well, can it be now, too long? Can you date too long where you sort of morph into a different way of relating to each other?
I do. There's a guy named Scott Stanley, one of the best marriage researchers out there, he talks about a thing called deciding versus sliding. And I think that the challenge, if you're dating too long, I think you just sort of then slide into marriage because it's kind of the next logical step. We've been together for a long time versus a real intentional, I am deciding that this is who I want to spend my life with. And we've dated now. I want to ask her, and then I want to get married. So that, I think that's the biggest downside, is just that it's easier to kind of slip into that. You know, I mean, it just was the obvious next step, which actually are huge warning signs. I mean, if that's your attitude, that, you know, we've been together a long time, kind of owe it to her, you Oof. Know, or just, you know, I mean, those are would be huge red flags. And versus a real intentional, I'm going to date, and then the moment that I have dated long enough to where I really feel like I've seen what I need to see, and this is who I want to choose. Now I'm deciding. Let's make this official. Let's go through a formal engagement time, and really dig in, prepare for our life together, then we get married. You see how the difference between deciding versus sliding?
Very much. But even if you are of marrying age and you're dating, I know Focus and Boundless, Lisa Anderson, who works for you, so I'm thinking you subscribe to the same idea, that there should be a practice of, we're doing this for a purpose. I mean, we're digging in to see. Even we're not just dating for the sake of dating. We're going to have some conversations to see if we really are compatible for the long haul, right?
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of dating, is being purposeful. What are you heading towards? And it's okay once you figure out that, this is a deal breaker for me, or, hey, I'm not just seeing certain things that would lead me to that next step. But versus this casual, we're just hanging out, having fun, just dating to, you know, get to know interact with the opposite sex. I mean, that's not purposeful dating.
Right.
Purposeful dating is when you really are going looking for all those things that would cause you to know, is this the person I want to spend my life with?
Well, let's talk about the difference between just the initial attraction and actually some real substance that you have to work with in this other person. Because it is amazing when you're carried away in that attraction, how you can excuse so many other things. So how does a person keep their head about them when they're sort of their heart's kind of beaten out of their chest?
Yeah, and that's a great season. You know, the passion, the romance, the excitement, you know, those early parts of a relationship. I mean, that's what propels us into really getting to know this person. Without that, you know, why are we dating? I mean, and so that's a great season, but at some point there has to be this intention to really start to evaluate this person. How does this person handle my heart when I share my emotions? Are they dismissed? Are they challenged? Is there room in this relationship for me? Where are we spiritually? That's what shifts you then from sort of that, you know, early, you know, infatuation to a more, you're evaluating then this person in light of could I spend the rest of my life with this person?
Okay, so we've got a couple minutes before this break, Greg. So two things I heard you say is talking about emotional safety, and I've done enough shows with you to know what a value that is, and I, you know, in just the way that you counsel people, that this, your marriage has to be a safe place. So just a future potential marriage has to be a safe place. And then the spiritual priority. Any other high priorities just off the top of your head for the person who's dating and considering marriage?
Well, when this gentleman, Caleb, who came to talk to me to ask me for Taylor's hand in marriage here not too long ago, I mean, first and foremost, that's what I wanted to know. And I asked him, I said, I need to know, do you love God more than you will ever love my daughter? Are you committed more to your relationship with God than you are to my daughter? Trying to get a gauge of you know, where is he within his relationship with God as far as a priority? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm committed to the Lord. I mean, really, what is that? That's what I was looking for. Because, Susie, you know, when this kid called me up and said, hey, I want to talk to you. And I said, whoa, wait, is this what I think it's going to be? And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, instead of us doing this over the phone, I said, I want to bring you with me to one of my marriage events.
That was brilliant, Greg, really.
It was brilliant. Mm. It wasn't really, it was Aaron just wasn't going to be there for this one. So I'm like, hey, that's perfect. And yet, I honestly, when I hung up the phone, he's like, yeah, I'd love to do that. I hung up the phone and went, oh, man, what should I ask him? There's got to be some really important questions.
His brilliant plan has no legs.
Yeah. So I get him a flight, and I'm still going, what I ask him? And I really spend quite a bit of time just thinking, what are these big, big categories of things? This is my daughter. This boy is asking me for a hand in marriage. What's critical that I need to better understand? And that's what, again, I'd love to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll talk about, talking to Dr. Greg Smalley about Are You Ready to Wed? We've got three copies of this fantastic book, Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You Love. Email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Put Ready to Wed in the subject line. Include your mailing address, and you will. I'm talking hard copy mailing address because I can't email a copy of the Smalley book, okay? And your name will go in a drawing, three of you get a copy. If you get a question or comment, you can chime in now, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we will be back in a moment.
No matter what I face, you're by my side.
I just had to let that song go because I'm dancing in the studio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is With a Promise. I don't know. Do you dance when you hear a good beat? I hope so. Well, I've got Dr. Greg Smalley on the line with me today. We are talking about how you know if you're ready to wed. How do you know, even if you're dating, Are you kind of getting ready for that next step? Are you asking some of the right questions? Before the break, Greg, you were talking about how your daughter's boyfriend called and said he wants to meet with you, and you were like, is this what I think it's going to be? And he kind of said, yes. And so you had the brilliant idea of saying, hey, come with me on one of my marriage events, and you got him a ticket, and you were getting ready to fly him out. But then you had the thought, if we're going to have this conversation, I need to know that this boy's father is on board. Which is another brilliant thought, Greg. Really, kind of amazing. So, what
is
you...
accidental?
Yeah. Still, it's a good idea. So, what happened next?
Yeah, I really remember panicking, just going, "What should I be asking this guy beyond? Do you love my daughter? Yeah. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Hey,
good
have a good life together. Yeah. See you for turkey dinner." And so I really dug in, and it so helped me because it gave me some a framework to really ask some great questions. And so one of them is, how do you know if you're ready to propose? One of the main things, this is one of the most important, is that you have the support of your loved ones. If you are if you feel that you are ready to ask for someone's hand in marriage, your friends and family better be on board, or please, please, please take that as a huge red flag. Step back, seek to understand what's going on. And so, Susie, I asked this young man, and Caleb, for his dad's number, and I said, "Yeah, I've never met your parents. I'd love to talk to him," because I said, "Caleb, I can't give you my blessing until I know that your mom and dad give you theirs." And they've had time to see Taylor, and maybe they have concerns, or maybe they have concerns about you. So he's like, okay. So I get his cell phone number, and I just did a text. I just said, hey, I introduced myself, said, hey, Greg Smalley, and sorry it's taken so long, but I'd really love to talk to you. Your son wants to ask for my daughter's hand in marriage, but I need your blessing first, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a really nice text. And so I get this response a couple hours later that says this, and I'm quoting, all right, I'm reading the text. It says, "Hello, Mr. Smalley. Sorry for the delay in my response, but I am not totally sure which of the many girls my son has been involved with is Taylor. Can you send me a picture so I don't mistake her for some of the girls that I definitely would not approve of?" I'm like,
and what happened?
Now, I love a good yes. practical joke. I love to banter, so I'm thinking, oh, I love this dude already. I waited for a response. Like, hey, just kidding. Would love to have a conversation. Nothing. Hours and hours go by, and finally, the next text says, "Hey, just kidding. I'm not Caleb's dad, just the wrong number. Having some fun with you. You should get the correct number.
Can you be my new best friend?"
Yeah, and give him a call. Good luck. Oh, man.
He's like cut out of the same mold as you are.
Seriously, I have a total man crush on whoever this dude is. So I text him back. I'm like, that was so awesome. You got me. You have my respect until the day you die. So I texted Caleb. I'm like, could you give me your dad's actual number? I'm like, you little turkey, did you do this on purpose? And he's like, I'm so sorry. And so it was one number off. But had a great conversation with his dad over the phone and just said, hey, I'm good. If you've got concerns about Taylor or Caleb, let me know, and I won't give him my blessing without yours. And Susie, that's the point. The question is, have you spent considerable time praying, first and foremost, seeking God's desire around this decision? I don't believe that God is a matchmaker. I believe that His Scripture very clearly gives us a choice in who we marry. Mm. But the key is, have I really prayed this through and have a peace? Have that this was within God's will. What do your parents say? What are your close friends? If you don't have a great relationship with your parents, what you know, a mentor, a pastor. Call Susie Larson.
Come on.
And she will be very honest with you. Right? So, I mean, that's the idea, is if your friends and family do not support this, you have no business getting engaged.
You answered my next question, but I guess I want you to expound on it a bit more, because there are people who maybe don't have a solid relationship with family, maybe their faith was that catalyst, you know, where they, you know, their family doesn't share their faith and they sort of branched out. So that next kind of realm of influence would be those who are mentors and leaders. And in the Christian context, that would be the place you would go to say, is this somebody you see as a good choice for me? And would I be a good choice for them? And is that what you're saying? Kind of submit to that next realm of influence?
Absolutely. I mean, most everyone has a support group. So if it's not your immediate family, maybe they're gone. Maybe you have a disconnected relationship. You know, what about your friends who you trust? And they're not just dingbats, but they're people that you respect. You know, a coach, a pastor, a mentor. I mean, someone there. Look at your support system. Ask them. Now, if you're telling me, you know, Greg, Susie, don't really have anybody to reach out to me, that's a huge red
yes.
flag. You can't do marriage in isolation. We joke about this. It takes a village to raise a marriage. And if you're not, if you haven't at this point cultivated a support system, man, get that done before you walk down the aisle, because you're going to need others who are cheering you on, supporting you, double dating with you. I mean, you need like-minded couples in your life. So if you're telling me you have none of that, that you need to deal with that. I wouldn't get married if I had no support system.
Boy, that's such a good point. And when I'm mentoring young women who are thinking about getting married, I'll ask them questions about what kind of history does he have? Does he have a history? Does he have friends that he's had, Christian friends that he's had for some time? Has he held a job for some time? If there's no kind of evidence of his past history and you suddenly think you're the person who's going to sweep in and be that everything, that's a massive red flag, isn't it?
Totally. Totally. It sounds romantic. I'm sure it'd make a good Hallmark movie, which I would watch. Anyway, it that all sounds great, but it can't. Don't do that. Mm. It just, God created us to be in relationship. And I always tell people, you need a Paul in your life. You need someone older and wiser. You need a Barnabas. You need peer friendships. And then you need a Timothy. You always need to have someone younger that you're investing in. And that forms, that should form then this core kind of support. And what do they think? So I asked Caleb, and I said, tell me about your friends. Tell me about your family. How do your siblings feel about Taylor? What about your parents? And just to be able to hear him say, oh, yeah, you know, my friend. You know, and I've met some of his friends. And I asked him, what do you think? Do you think they should get married? Or should I kick him out? And they're like, well, no. They support it. So that's good. I mean, again, it's none of these in isolation. It's not that this one is the secret. It's the totality. It's going, man, I want to know these 10 things. And if really I feel comfortable once this boy, you know, is answered to, you know, given answers to these 10 things, then all right, then I feel comfortable.
Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley today at Focus on the Family about how you know if you're ready to wed. What happens if you're so set on the marriage or on the wedding that you're not thinking about the marriage, or you just want to be married but you're not thinking about the person that you're choosing? We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. If you've got a question, now's the time to ask it. 877-93-FAITH. More with Dr. Smalley when we return. Such a fantastic song by my friend Meredith Andrews, and it really does even apply to marriage. Those highs, those lows, they make us more dependent on God. They teach us how to love in a way that Christ loves. And as Greg Smalley always says, that the love is not self-sustaining. It's something that we have to nurture and nourish in marriage. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and my good buddy Dr. Greg Smalley joins me today. We're talking this time about how to know if you're ready to wed. We've got a few copies of Greg and Aaron's book, Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You Will Love. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And so before the break, I set it up to say, you know, oftentimes, especially I think with women, maybe men aren't so inclined this way, where we dream about the wedding day. And it's like we put all the weight, all the money, all of our fantasies into being the belle of the ball because we want to feel like pretty and want to be that person who's celebrated. but without thinking about the marriage after. And sometimes people are saying, well, I'm thinking about the marriage. I'm just not thinking about the person I'm married to, which is its own problem. And Amy wrote in, she said, so glad this book was brought up today. Never considered dating a person to find out if I should marry them. I just wanted to be married. I ended up settling and looked past the red flags. Now I've decided to divorce due to all the steps that were missing in dating. Greg, do you want to say anything to Amy?
Yeah, Amy, I think that's fantastic insight. And this is why even before we're engaged, we can really do some good work of discovery. Are we actually ready to even propose? And the more we're intentional around those things, man, that it gives us such a better chance. I mean, the thing I would, man, I'd love to encourage you around is I know you're probably at a spot where your heart's pretty closed and maybe you have divorced. If not, man, focus on the family. We have a marriage intensive program that is 85% of the couples who go through that are still together. And I know that you feel helpless and it probably feels very hopeless, but I'm telling you, I've led those and I've watched God do the most incredible miracles in I mean, I just encourage you, if it's not too late, keep fighting. This is a choice that you made, and you can fight for this. And I don't care how mismatched someone is. I mean, that's why we're talking about this, because we want to prevent that. But, man, God can do – He is always in your corner. He's always going to be fighting for your marriage. And so, we'd love to help in any way. If you give us a call at 800-A-FAMILY, you can find out about that in marriage intensive program.
So important, because it would be easy in your mind to justify, well, I was out of God's will when I married this person, so I'm in God's will to get rid of him. But that wouldn't be accurate. So let's say you're out of God's will when you get married. You'd be in God's will to fight and trust that God's grace is sufficient to turn something that maybe started out on the wrong foot and put it in the right foot. And you've seen that over and over again, haven't you, Greg?
Completely. I mean, I think if you are looking to decide, am I ready to even propose and get engaged, you know, part of that is that are you really, truly ready to make a lifelong commitment? In basically what I asked Caleb, I said, Caleb, my daughter is going to drive you nuts at times. I love her, but she's human. She's going to drive you nuts. You're going to drive her nuts. There are going to be hard seasons. Who knows what will happen on this journey that you guys will be on together. But I said, honestly, look me right in the eyes, and I need you to tell me that divorce does not exist in your vocabulary, that truly is never an option, but you commit to me that you will always, regardless of what she does, that you will fight for this marriage, always, that you'll never give up. And I said, look me in the eyes and tell me that. And he did. And again, I mean, could it be lip service? Well, of course, we could say anything. But that's the idea that you know what, make that decision. If you're saying that I truly am ready to be with this person for the rest of my life, and that there is no other option but to keep fighting and moving forward, all right. Then go for it. I mean, that's one of those ways that you know you're ready. That's one. I mean, again, there's many.
Well, let's jump over to the spiritual oneness part. You say that, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend challenges you to have a deeper faith, closer relationship with the Lord. That's a positive. A negative might be that you attend a church that's very different from where your boyfriend or girlfriend attend, or you have different spiritual backgrounds. So talk about what spiritual oneness looks like when it's a good thing and it's a good indicator that you're ready to move to a next place.
Yeah, it's that idea of being equally yoked. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it talks about that if you know, I know Taylor is accepted the Lord. I know that she's a Christ follower. Caleb, where are you at? And to hear him say and to tell me his faith journey was awesome. And I asked, so here's what I asked him. I said, so that's great. So it sounds like you both are followers of Christ. Awesome. But do you have that deep spiritual relationship? And you know what he said to me? Cause it freaked me out. He goes, no. I went, well, and I'm kind of sitting back going, What, how do I respond to this? And he goes, but can I tell you why? And I said, I would hope so, because right now I'm really wondering if I'm going to give you my blessing. He goes, Dr. Smalley, he goes, honestly, he goes, I love the Lord and I love your daughter. I know your daughter loves me and loves the Lord. He goes, but I have been very, very careful to cultivate a deep spiritual intimacy with your daughter because I can't handle that level of intimacy with her yet.
Whoa.
I went, what?
Smalley,
I said, love that.
He's
well,
a better man again. Than
I
you
know.
Are. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly, which is why he's going to be on the show from now on.
Exactly.
But I,
that's
and,
amazing.
And I went, man, wow. Dude, that's really good. I said, tell me more about that. And he just said, I consider that the deepest level of intimacy between a couple of men when we're connected to the Lord and we're worshiping together, we're praying together. He goes, I'm really, really protecting our physical relationship because he goes, honestly, man, he didn't say it this way, but this is what he meant. I think your daughter's hot and I'm really attracted to her. And I don't think I can go there yet. He goes, I will tell you that when we are officially engaged, that is absolutely, that's something that we can't wait to cultivate on a deeper level.
Hmm.
And I just
wow.
hugged him. I just held him close, tight.
And
it was awkward. that's again, if you're not equally yoked, that's a huge, huge, huge red flag. I mean, I get that question a lot. You know, I'm dating a guy or I'm engaged to a guy who's, you know, whatever, girl who aren't, I'm a believer. They're not a believer. What do I do? You just have to ask yourself if God wrote about that in his word as being really, really important. You need to step back, pause, go sit and talk to an older couple about spiritual intimacy and being unequally yoked. Go talk to your pastor. Really try to understand the challenges around that. If you still decide to walk forward, I mean, that's up to you, but I would consider that a deal breaker.
Mm, boy, that's so good. Let's talk about similar values and dreams. I mean, when people have hopes, goals, dreams, how do they know if these will complement each other?
Yeah, I think what you're looking for is the big stuff, like our career goals. Do we both want children? What are our long-term things and our passions? And, you know, for example, I asked him, I said, tell me about Taylor's passions. What are some of the things that are on her bucket list that she really wants to do? You know, to serve God, to live out her faith. What is she excited about? You know, I'm looking. Are you aware of these things? You know, and instantly he's like, you know, she cannot wait to be a missionary. She's a nurse. She's working now to pay off some debt, and then she wants to go on the mission field. And I would love to do that. I don't know if we could do that full time, but man, I am 100% behind that passion for her to serve medically on the mission field. And so I think that's what you're looking for. You know, if this person, hey, I want to become I want to go into the pastorate and become a preacher. And the other person's like, I would never marry a preacher. I mean, those are the big things. I can't wait to have kids. You couldn't pay me to have children. It's not a matter. Well, how many children? When do we want to have children? It's you're looking for these big things. You have to be aligned around your big hopes and dreams. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to have the same interests, the same hobbies. Will you make room for this person's hobbies? You know, Aaron, I love to collect old football equipment from pre-1920s. That's a hobby of mine. And Aaron gives me space. She could care less about that stuff. She gives me space. It's important to me, and so she values me enough to say, yeah, that's great. And she, matter of fact, we're about to hit our 24th. Guy, I need to remember this. come May 30th. That's in only a short few days.
That's yeah. Anyway,
I'll get the
email
card
you
last
with
night.
A flag. Oh,
thank
good.
You. But Aaron already bought me the coolest old antique football thing.
Wow!
It totally surprised me with it. And so again, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like if Aaron was to say, "We will never have an antique in our home," I mean, is that a deal breaker? Would I have said, well, I'm not marrying you then? Probably not. But look for the, you have to be talking about the in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, hear what I see myself doing, here are my passions. And if there are some big ones that you guys don't align on, that's a red flag.
Indeed, indeed. Let's say a word before this next break about financial responsibility,
yeah.
Because that can be, you know, we can, you know, love can pay the bills when you're going into marriage, but they definitely
they don't.
Yeah. So take it from there.
What I wanted to know from Caleb, so he's finishing up his last year of college. And so, you know, is he financially independent right now? Probably not, in that he's not able to work. But here's what I was looking for, two things. Is he dependent upon his parents, and does he then have a plan on how he will support my daughter or how they will earn money? And number two, what I was really watching, I wasn't asking him because I don't care what he says. I wanted to see it. What's his work ethic look like?
Yeah.
And the kid has a phenomenal work ethic. I mean, I just heard, listened, and you could put it together. Worked several jobs. And I asked him, I said, so Caleb, tell me your plan. So when you graduate, how will you provide for your family? I mean, Taylor's a nurse. She's making a great income. And so it's not just all on him, but as the man, as the leader of his family, I wanted to know how he understands providing for his family, for his wife, for his kids. And we had a great conversation. You could just tell, I mean, he's not dependent upon his parents. You know, if he was to say, well, my plan, if it's okay with you, is to move into your basement, he's not getting my blessing. You know, I mean, so you're that's a part of what is a dad or that person who is going to be asked for the hand in marriage. That's what I want to know. Are you financially responsible?
All right. Next, we're going to talk about just us as individuals. Where healthy marriage requires two, not perfect, but earnest individuals working on their stuff. The question Greg asks is, are you dealing with your personal junk? Are you healthy enough to come into marriage? Because we need to have a measure of maturity and emotional health to navigate the waters of marriage. We'll talk about that when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley from Focus on the Family. And in due time, Focus on the Family will have a ready-to-wed assessment. So if you're dating and you want to know, am I ready? The stuff we're talking about today will be, Lord willing, on that assessment. So you're getting kind of a sneak peek as we work our way through these points. One point you wanted to make sure we cover, Greg, before we wrap today, is range of experiences. And you say you need enough time to experience challenging moments to work through together. And I guess that would be the downside of dating, have a short dating and a short engagement period because love is going to pay the bills and I'm so infatuated, I want to rush this thing along. Very dangerous to do that. So speak about the range of experiences necessary.
Yeah, have you experienced conflict? Have you gone through a job struggle, family issues? You know, because it's those challenges, the everyday things that we go through that really will allow you to see the real individual. And then to be able to go, so how did we cope with the stress, with the crises? And this was answered for me in a truly precious way. And that's when, you know, my dad, Gary Smalley, passed away March the 6th of this year. And so I was with you,
mm-hmm.
Aaron and I were with you at the women's conference. And you guys were amazing saying, Greg, we release you. You need to go be with your dad, which if you hadn't, I would have actually been on an airplane when he died. But being with him, Caleb drove Taylor down. And so Caleb was literally in the room when my dad went to be with the Lord.
Wow.
And I'll never forget him I mean, he was very respectful, very polite, just kind of staying back, but just rubbing Taylor's shoulder and just, you know, holding her hand and just not saying anything. It was, he did a great job. I mean, think about that. You're a young kid trying to impress your girlfriend's dad in the room while the giant Gary Smalley goes to be with the Lord. I mean, that talk about intimidating. And at one point, he moves over to me and just places his hand and just started rubbing my neck and just real gently, just rubbing my shoulders. And it was the sweetest thing and the most tender thing. And I just thought, wow, what this is, I'm like, Taylor, I mean, he didn't ask me. And I'm like, you need to marry this guy. I don't care what you need to do. Marry him. But you know, but all that to say that he's been with Taylor through the struggles of her finishing nursing school and getting, you know, licensed as a nurse and the through the death of her grandfather and just the roommate struggles and all these things. That's what I mean by a range of experiences.
Okay, let's look at the flip side. This listener wrote in and said, love listening today. My son is 20. He's been dating the same first and only girl since he was a junior in high school. Relationship is rocky, but he'd rather stay in it than be alone. Feels like it's only a matter of time. I don't think marriage is the answer this time. On the flip side, it's almost like the unknown is more scary to some, or being alone is more scary than staying. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is Absolutely. What I know, and I feel like I might be settling, but it's better than what I don't know that's out there. Oh, my goodness, how many people have married because it's a comfortable shoe and not because it's the call of God?
Yeah. Loneliness is never, ever a reason to get married. And that needs to be worked out between you and the Lord. And that just, it's just such a red flag. I mean, because you're setting yourself up with such faulty expectations that somehow then if I don't want to be alone, then this person's going to meet those needs. And I'll tell you what, Susie, what was the title of one of the books you've written?
Alone in marriage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens. Everybody, I think, can go through that kind of a season. And I tell you, if that's the reason you got married, that will rock your world. That'll cause you to go, did I marry the right person? So don't. That's a huge red flag. Step back. Reevaluate things. If that's really the only reason you want to get married is because you don't want to be alone, that's not a reason to get married.
Indeed. So let's stick with the red flags. You got a number of them here. One is there's been domestic abuse or violence in the relationship,
Absolutely.
Or they have a propensity towards anger and violence. Say a word
End
about
it
that.
Right now.
Amen.
Just walk away.
Mm. Okay. Red flag. I found my soulmate, the one.
It's such a fallacy. There's no such thing. Remember, God's not a matchmaker. There's not a soulmate. I know it's, again, sounds great on a card, sounds wonderful, very romantic. It just sets you up. If this is a soulmate, what happens when we hit problems? Ooh, maybe I was walking out of God's will. Maybe this is my soulmate. It just, you don't need that. To decide if this is who you want to spend your life with. One of the best pieces of advice I got from Dr. John Trent, who I was dating Aaron and just said, man, John, how do you know? And he said, Greg, you have to decide. Does it cause you pain to imagine waking up without Aaron in your life? And if you can tell me that it causes you great pain to think about a life without her, then, man, you know what? That's awesome. And make that choice and choose her. And when it was my choice, see, then I'm not relying on this fantasy, mystical stuff that won't always be there. My choice means that then I also have a choice to stay committed to her for the rest of my life.
Wow. Okay. How about this one? Gotten too physical too soon, so you feel automatically connected, or you're living together, so you feel like I've already done that. And a side note, and maybe this is for another day, by rushing that piece, you're missing the progression of the relationship and getting substance in your relationship, but feeling like, okay, we've already gone this far. There's no backing out of this now. What do you say?
Well, you're relying on a veneer. You're relying on something that looks real that isn't. And if your intimacy is built around sex, around a real physical relationship, that's not real intimacy, because that's not when that's supposed to happen. So I'm not talking about a marriage. That's a gift God has given us for a marriage. It bonds you in such a way around something that's a veneer that's a huge red flag. So you may be relying upon something that's like sand that'll slip right through your fingers. Versus, what are the bedrock kinds of things that I need to be basing this relationship on? And again, it's not to say if we've been physical, you need to walk away. What you need to do is quit being physical,
right. So
you can evaluate this relationship without that, you know, because that's like all roads lead to Rome. I mean, that's like having something in front of your face. You have no perspective. You can't truly evaluate the relationship then.
Okay, marriage will fix our relationship problems. Sorry, I wanted to say that without laughing, but I mean, some too believe that, right?
Yeah, they do. They believe that, man, we've been having some challenges, so let's just get married, and then thus the commitment that we've made to each other will solve some of these problems. I love to see couples fight. And because I want you to learn how to walk through conflict. That's a big that's another one of those. How do you know you're ready to propose? Do you know how to, have you had conflict, and do you know how to manage it in a way that you've both listened to each other, you've heard each other, you've empathized with each other, you've worked towards a win-win. So, I mean, that's so important. If you haven't fought, how do you know that this is a person who will handle your heart in the way you deserve, who will allow you to have feeling, or who's going to dominate you in you know? I mean, so I'm not saying, hey, go out and pick a fight tonight, but I'm telling you, if you're not faced with situations that's creating some conflict, I don't know.
You're not digging deep enough in the soil, right?
So again, not a deal breaker. Be cautious. Exactly. You're not digging deep enough. Yeah. Mm.
Boy, this has been so good. As we said, we've got 3 copies of Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You Will Love. Email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Put Ready to Wed in the subject line. Greg, as we get ready to wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today who's dating on the road, considering marriage, but wants to do this thing right. Would you pray for that person today?
God, bring the right people into their life, Lord, who can speak truth, who can give honest assessment. People can see so much more than we can at times. And so, God, just give a peace that surpasses all understanding as we pray this decision through. Give the right people, Lord. Let us truly be able to evaluate. And then, God, just help us to be honest enough to say, would I marry me? And, Lord, if I wouldn't marry me, then help that person to be courageous enough to step away. Get the good help that's out there, and then to see from there. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for marriage and for relationships. And, God, we want to do them right and be great stewards of the gifts you've given. So, Lord, just help us to do that well.
In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Greg, thank you for joining us today. It's always such a treat to have you. Bless you for your time.
I loved it. Thanks for talking about this. And, and I can't wait for you to meet Caleb someday.
I can't wait.
Kid.
Boy, I can tell he belongs in that Smalley family. Very
he
good.
He does. He's got a great sense of humor.
Awesome.
So he'll hold his own.
He will hold his own, and he needs to. Title of the book is Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. I gave you a chance to get up and dance. Hope you did. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And in just a bit, you'll find a podcast to today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Hey, don't forget to sign up and submit in the 4th annual Faith Radio Writers Contest. We've got just a few more days for taking those submissions. If you win or a top vote getter, you'll get a chance to meet face-to-face with an editor from Bethany House Publishers. Don't let fear stand in the way. Step up and do it, okay? And we'll meet you back here next time. Have a blessed and wonderful day.